feet and daylight unto my path. And a light unto, a light unto my path, my path.
Welcome to Searchlight, a survey through Scripture with Pastor John Corson. It is our desire to bring you a systematic study of the entire Bible, chapter by chapter, book by book. What do you do with opportunities? Specifically, the opportunities that the Lord brings our way to minister to others. This may be to our family, friends, co-workers, or complete strangers. The Lord gives us many opportunities. The question is, what do we do with them? In our story in Judges chapter 5, we are seeing some people that got involved in the battle and others that did not. And those that chose not to get involved missed out on what God had for them. Let's now join Pastor John and see what God has to say to us about opportunities that he gives us.
She's still reiterating and rehearsing this story about how the people were in bondage and certain men did rise up and were willing to be used. And she even includes Barak graciously in this company. Arise up, Barak, and take those guys into captivity. Verse 13, then he made him that remaineth, the survivors, have dominion over the nobles among the people. The Lord made me have dominion over the mighty. In other words, the ones that survived, that is the bad guys, hey, they were brought under our dominion. The tables were turned. The good guys are in control, you see. Out of Ephraim, verse 14, was there a root of them against Amalek. Ephraim, the tribe of Ephraim, you did good. You went against the Amalekites, the bad guys. After thee, Benjamin, thy people. Yeah, you also joined in the battle. Ephraim, Benjamin, and then verse 14, out of Makar, which is in Manasseh, came down leaders. And out of Zebulun, they that handle the pen of writers. So there was Benjamin, Zebulun, Manasseh, and Ephraim singled out as those that stood up and got involved in the battle that was being engaged in against Sisera and against Jabin, this king of the Canaanites. And also, verse 15, the princes of Issachar were with Deborah. Even Issachar, also with Barak, he was sent on foot to the valley of battle. So I want you to see here very quickly that there's a number of tribes, Ephraim, Benjamin, Manasseh, Zebulun, Issachar, they got involved, but watch this. On the other side of the equation, the flip side, it says, but in the divisions, verse 15, last phrase, in the divisions of Reuben, there were great thoughts of the heart. Why abodest thou among the sheepfolds to hear the bleating of the flocks? For there were divisions of Reuben, there was great searchings of the heart. Now what this is saying is Reuben didn't get involved. He stayed in the sheepfold. He stayed where it was safe. Why? Because he gave it a lot of thought. Well, should we go to battle or not? Man, we're going to risk this, or that might happen, or they've got 900 chariots. In other words, this tribe, Reuben, was experiencing the paralysis of analysis. They were analyzing. It's a dangerous thing, and it's a common problem. If you become introspective, well, should I witness to him or not? Should I go there or no? Should I do this? Should I be kind to that person today? Or, hey, you know, you can find yourself looking inward and becoming introspective to the place where you do nothing. That happened to this tribe. The guys mentioned first, they got involved. They got engaged. But Reuben, there was great thoughts in his heart. He was introspective. He was going back and forth internally, and guess what? He missed the entire battle. The war was won without the tribe of Reuben. Could that happen to you? Could that happen to me? Absolutely. God says, I want you to do this. I want you to experience that. I want you to have victory here, and I want you to gain spoil over there. But we sit around and analyze. We sit back and analyze. And we miss the obvious opportunity that's before you, that's before me. Listen, if there's an opportunity to do something, do it. See? Don't go through this deep introspective stuff that Reuben was vulnerable to, or you'll miss the war entirely. It'll pass you right by. See? Get involved. Get engaged. That's what the first tribes did, but not Reuben. He was there by the flock. I'll just hang out with the flock. I'll just hang out at church. I'll just be safe. I don't want to take a risk. I don't want to take a chance. I don't want to do that, you see. Ah, sad. And then also Gilead. This is the hall of, well, after the hall of fame, the first tribes is the hall of shame. Ephraim, Benjamin, Manasseh, Zebulun, Issachar, the hall of fame. You guys got involved. Hall of shame, Reuben. You're too introspective. Gilead abode beyond the Jordan. What does that mean? Gilead said, it's not my turf. It's not my area. We're beyond the Jordan, and you know what? That's your problem over there. Boy, that can be true in me, maybe in you too. We can say, that's not my area. It's not my turf. It's not my, you know, I know there's a battle, an opportunity, a war, but you know what? That's just not my city. That's just not my country. It's not my territory. It's not my turf. So Gilead, along with Reuben, is in the hall of shame too, because they had a turf mentality. It's not my turf. And why did Dan remain in the ships? The third tribe in the hall of shame is Dan. He remained in the ships. He was on a cruise, evidently. He was on a carnival cruise or what have you. And he just was out there sailing around in his boat, and so to speak. And Deborah's song, inspired by the Spirit of God, says, what a shame. What a shame. You missed the war. It passed you by. You could have got engaged, but oh, Reuben, you were too introspective. Gilead, you said it's not my turf, it's not my area of responsibility. And Dan, you were on a cruise somewhere. And Asher, I like Asher, again, the hall of shame, verse 17 goes on to say, continued on the seashore and abode in his breeches, or literally at the beach. I mean, so to speak. That's the idea anyway. He was at the seashore. Hey, man, I'm at the beach. Just give me a place at the beach. So we have some beach bums and some guys on a cruise ship and some introspective dudes and some guys that say apathetically, it's not my problem, it's not my territory. They go down in history in the hall of shame. But back to the hall of fame, verse 18. Zebulun and Naphtali were a people that jeoparded their lives unto the death in the high places of the field. These guys, Zebulun and Naphtali, they risked their lives. They took steps of faith. They went ahead and engaged in the battle and took on the enemy. And the kings, verse 19, came and fought. Then the kings of Canaan in Taanak by the waters of Megiddo. That's the valley of Armageddon there. And they took no gain of money. They fought from heaven. The stars in their courses fought against Sisera, and so forth and so on. So back to the Hall of Fame. These guys, Zebulun and Naphtali, they got engaged in the battle that day. But verse 23, back to the Hall of Shame. Curse ye Meroz, said the angel of the Lord. Curse ye bitterly the inhabitants thereof, because they came not to the help of the Lord, to the help of the Lord against the mighty. Now, this is interesting. Meroz is a city of Israel in the region of the battle. We don't know exactly where. It's never been determined nor discovered where this city was. It's an Israeli city, an Israelite city, that did not get involved. The battle was going on all around them. The reason, it doesn't say. It just says, cursed will they be for their failure to get involved in the battle. The angel of the Lord says, you're cursed. The angel of the Lord is none other than Jesus Christ. You've cursed your city. You've cursed yourselves. Cursed will be the man, the woman, who does not get involved in the battle, get involved in service. Cursed where? In heaven. What? Cursed in heaven? Yeah. In heaven, there's going to be weeping. The Lord's going to wipe away every tear. But we're going to stand there before the judgment seat of Christ, the reward stand. And those that didn't get involved, those that just sat back day after week after month after year after decade, missing opportunities in their own community, in their own valley to be involved, they'll be weeping in that day. Now, it's going to be heaven, it's true, but when the rewards are given out, there is going to be, I believe, an unbelievable wailing that will take place in many, many people. I pray not me, I pray not you, where people will say, why did I waste my life? What was I thinking? Why did I have time for this and why did I do that? But I didn't get involved in what God called me to do or gave me the abilities or the equipment or the tools to serve him with. But I was too caught up in my hobby or in this or that or the other. And there's going to be a cursing in eternity. Oh, not God's going to look down on you and hurl a curse at you. You will curse, we will curse, one will curse himself or themselves. And Jesus taught about this, how the servant that was the unrighteous servant who said, the Lord delays his coming. I've got lots of time. No worry, no hurry. How in that day he's cut asunder when the master comes unexpectedly. You might, I might, we might die tonight. It's too late then. Once I'm dead, once you're dead, or the Lord might come back. That's a very real possibility. But it's too late then to say, well, I'm really going to use those abilities you gave me, Lord, the money you entrusted to me, Lord, the openings that were there before me, Lord. It's too late. And in that day, the unjust servant who said, my Lord delays his coming, I still have time. As soon as the kids are grown, as soon as the house is paid for, as soon as whatever it is that we're waiting for, there will come in that day, mark my words and listen to what Jesus had to say, the unjust servant is cut asunder. He's ripped off. He's ripped apart. He's ripped in half. He realizes, I missed it. I'm not now what I could be throughout eternity. Oh, the capacity of my spiritual life forever is diminished. I'm a spiritual midget for eternity. And I'm not going to be ruling over 10 cities or over 5 cities or over 1 city like Jesus talked about when he said, use the pound that I've given to you. Use it wisely. Invest it diligently. Don't bury it in the earth, you see. Because Jesus said the one that just buries his talent, his pound, is going to have that pound taken away and it's going to be given to the guy that used the pounds wisely. And he, the guy that used them wisely, will be made rulers over 10 cities or rulers over 5. Well, I don't want to be a mayor of a city anyway, you might say. You're missing the point. It's not being mayor of a city. It's a place of responsibility, opportunity, and understanding, enlightenment, contentment. God has things in store for me and for you that are mind-blowing. But this is the only opportunity we have to be able to be at the top level, the 10 cities, or the middle level, the 5 cities. There are going to be many in heaven who will make it, as the Bible says, as though by fire. They'll be there, but they'll have no rewards because they buried their talent. God entrusted them with personality or intellectual ability or musical skill or financial resources, and they buried it. They used it for themselves, or they just ignored it altogether. And on that day, there's going to be a cursing of ourselves if that's what we've done, when there's no reward given. Well, we're in heaven. Well, aren't we going to be happy? You're going to be happy. But as I've said before, you'll be like a pot banger. That is, like a one-year-old sitting on his kitchen floor banging pots and pans. It's fun for him. Ging, ging, ging. But if you do that, it's not going to bring you a great deal of joy, or it better not. You know, it shouldn't. Why? Because you're adults. You're mature. You're big. And banging pots and pans on the kitchen floor, when you're one, that's interesting. That's exciting. In heaven, folks, there are going to be those who they did nothing with their lives for the Lord on earth. They believed in him. They opened up their heart to him, but they buried their pound and they didn't use their talents. And they'll be in heaven and they'll be happy, but they'll be little guys banging pots. Ging, 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 ging. And we'll walk by and we'll say, oh, you know, and pat him on the head, and go on and rule over many cities. And if you want to be a pop banger, then don't do a thing. Just, you know, do what these tribes in the Hall of Shame did. What's that? Hang out on the beach, you know, take a cruise, you know, say it's not my problem, it's not my territory, you know. These tribes that blew it, and God says that city which was there right in the thick of the opportunity and didn't do it, they're going to be cursed. The angel of the Lord, Jesus Christ, says, you're cursed. He's not saying that angrily, I'm cursing you. He's just saying, you're cursed. You've cursed yourself. There will be people who curse themselves eternally. They're diminished. They'll be happy, but banging pots. And we'll say, that's sweet, I guess, but I'm glad I'm not there. Don't be a pot banger in heaven. Don't be a pot banger eternally, kids, folks, brothers and sisters. I don't want to see anybody in this amphitheater banging pots in heaven. I want to see you ruling over 10 cities because you used what God put in your hand to serve him. Not only are you cursed eternally, but you're cursed presently. Listen carefully. You're cursed presently. Why? The way to be sad today is to not serve the Lord. Be focused on your problems, your situation, your hurts, your needs, your life. It's the best way to be sad today. You'll curse life. You'll be cursed yourself. You'll say, you know, what a bummer life is. What a bummer my job is. What a bummer my husband is. What a bummer my kids are or my parents. Or what a bummer my... Everything is a bummer and blue. It's a curse. When? When I'm living for me or when you're living for you. The way to be free from self-cursing presently is to forget about yourself and get involved in service. Get involved in service. Get involved in... What can I do? What do you do? Well, not much. I can paint. Then paint for the glory of God. And start serving. Teach Sunday school. Go street witnessing. Go to the park and intercede on your knees for people. Find a quiet place and say, you know what? Instead of worrying about how I'm doing, what shape I'm in physically or emotionally or financially, I'm going to forget about myself for a bit. And I'm going to start serving others. And I promise you, Jesus said to me and Jesus said to you, in the measure you give out, it will be given back to you. When people say, I'm just not happy, I say, it's because you're not giving out. Because if you're giving out, you're going to find yourself experiencing what Jesus said would happen. Whatever degree you give out, it's given back to you again. Now, you may not agree with that, your choice, but I guarantee that if you give it a try and make it a lifestyle and say, I'm going to start serving others, you'll find yourself being free from the curse of self-absorption, which brings nothing but unhappiness within. So cursed are those because they did not come to the help of the Lord. That is, God was doing something and they didn't get up and move out and be involved. But blessed, verse 24, above women shall Jael, she was the one that nailed the old man, shall Jael, the wife of Heber, be. Blessed shall she be above women in the tent. Hey, she got involved, believe you me. I mean, she was fully engaged in the battle that day. He asked water, she gave him milk. Good thing to do. Hey, when the enemy asks water, satisfy me, give him the milk. As newborn babes, desire the sincere what? Milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. Such a key. She put her hand, verse 26, to the nail, her right hand to the workman's hammer. And with the hammer, she smote Sisera. And then, listen, what else happened? We don't know this until here. And then she cut off his head. She's a tough cookie. I mean, this lady's a, she's something. She puts a spike through his temple and then she whacks off his head. Boy, what a lady. No wonder her name's Jael, be that as it may. When she pierced and struck that spike through his temples and at her feet he bowed, he fell, he lay down. This is a mystery. What does this mean? I mean, the guy's laying there, a spike goes through her head, and it says, at her feet he bowed, he fell, he lay down. Some do believe, I don't know, but some do believe that what happened here was she drives this spike through his head initially. He stands up like a chicken with his head cut off, you know, freaked out, and then falls down dead, and then she lopped off his head to make sure it took. I don't know. That is a commonly held view, and it could very well be, but whatever happened, he was dead that day, believe you me. Then she shows a compassionate side, this mother in Israel, verse 28. This is still Deborah's song. I mean, she's still singing this song. The mother of Sisera, that was the guy that got nailed, looked out at a window and cried through the lattice, "Why is my son's chariot so long in coming? Why tarry the wheels of his chariots? Where is he?" See, she's looking out the window like moms do. Where's my baby Sisera? You know, where's my boy? See? Her wise ladies, the gals around her, answered the mother and said, well, yeah, she returned the answer herself as well. Have they not sped? Hey, they're okay. Have they not divided the prey? They've won, and now they're splitting up the spoil to every man a damsel or two. So, hey, mom, don't worry about it, the women around her say. They've had victory. They have those fast chariots, and they're splitting up the spoil right now, and they each have a woman or two, and they're taking advantage of that, which was part of the war spoil, you see. Yeah, he had a woman all right, but not in the way that mama thought that day. A woman got to him, believe you me. So she talks about this awareness of the mother of Sisera wondering where her son is and speculating what he might be up to, why he's late that day. And so verse 31, the song ends, "Let all thine enemies perish, O Lord, but let them that love him, the Lord, be as the sun when he goes forth in his might, like the beginning of the day, as the sun moves across the sky. Let the one who loves the sun, the Lord, if you would, be like that." And the land had rest 40 years. Over and over and over, only in one place really, it goes to 80 years, but over and over this idea of 40 years pops up. 40 years is a generation. And it seems as though every generation has their deliverance, their revival. Every generation has their encounter with the Lord, has a revival in the Lord, a deliverer raised up by the Lord, and then the next group, they fall away, and they have to have their own revival. And I think that's really true. I do see in church history, I have watched observationally over the years, it seems to be a key that you have to, every generation has to have its own revival. They have to really understand for themselves who the Lord is, what he does, and the way he works. And it's so thrilling to see here on Tuesday nights a whole new generation of young people packing out the sanctuary who are loving the Lord and praising his name. And it's given me great joy personally and pastorally to say, aha, a new generation is coming up that is discovering for themselves the joy and vitality, the vibrancy and reality of the Spirit-filled life and love in Jesus Christ. May that be. May that be. It seems as though ministries and movements last for a generation, and then there has to be something new done. And that needs to happen for our kids and for the next generation too. May they have their own victories in the Lord, their own experience with the Lord. May it be real to them like it's real to me and real to you.
And that's what we all want. We want our relationship with the Lord to be real. And we want it to be real for our loved ones as well. And as Pastor John said, one way to make it real is to get engaged in the battle. Don't sit back and miss out. God will give us opportunities to minister for him. Take advantage of these opportunities. Listen to the leading of the Spirit, and you will be blessed. This teaching is also available on the Searchlight website at johncorson.com. You will also find on the website Pastor John's books and other Bible study resources. Again, the address of the website is johncorson.com.
We would like to remind you that on the Searchlight website, you can find Pastor John's teachings through the entire Bible. You can listen to the audio or watch the video of any of these teachings from the website at any time for no charge. The Searchlight website address is johncorson.com.
Searchlight is a listener-supported ministry. We appreciate your prayers and support. May the Lord richly bless you.